joy to the world. As I think about Christmas and joy, specifically I think of how many times in the Bible it speaks about joy. That I actually counted it, and 252 times. 252 times does it speak about joy. God promises us everlasting joy in Isaiah 61:7. In fact, in the book of Revelation, God tells the apostle John that there is coming a time where there will be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. In fact, he says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We're going to be full of joy. We're going to be full of the joy of the goodness of God. And, you know, when I think about this, in the book of Revelation, there's singing, there's gathering, the family of God. The family is a picture of heaven. God ordained the family unit to be. When Natalie and I were in Israel this year, we were reminded that the primary place of worship was not in the synagogue. That's what we would think, right? That the public place, the public gathering place would be the place where worship was to take place, where, again, the primary place to follow after God, right? Because worship is not just singing, is it? Worship is a lifestyle of living for God, to be his hands and feet. Worship is also a word like prostrate before God, and we do that in worship, but it's living a lifestyle of worship to him. And it doesn't take place in the synagogue, although Jesus would minister many times in the synagogue. And it was there that he would say, and he would quote Psalm 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Right? And he would go into that powerful, powerful scripture about him being that. This is that. And so supernatural things would happen in the synagogue. And awesome things would take place. The main place of worship, guess where that would be? In the home. In the home. Maybe that's why I love small groups so much and Christmas parties. Then the home. Right? It's an opportunity for us to just be amongst each other. There is some communication that you have with another that you just don't do anywhere else, except maybe sitting across the kitchen table or in a living room as you're really getting honest and open and experiencing memories together. That's where it takes place. It takes place in the home. Deuteronomy 6, 4-9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise." Think about, out of those four, what takes place in the home? Three of those. When you wake up, when you're getting ready to go to bed, when you are at home. Now, the only one is when you're walking by the way. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Me and Natalie have got a Hear, O Israel prayer that just says that scripture right there, wrapped up in Hebrew, and it's to put on your doorposts. And when we were at the place where we had our reception when we got married, it was a Jewish camp, and you could actually see words of scripture carved into each door, each cabin and each place around the camp. Isn't that awesome? The fact that they didn't just say it, they did it. And it was practice where they put scripture in the doorposts of their homes. But what's the heart of that? Is that Jesus resides here. That Yahweh resides here. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And so this Hear, O Israel prayer is one of the most cherished prayers and the most challenging thing to all of us to live our lives always the same wherever we go, whether we're at home or we're at church or we're at our business. Most of these instructions, as I said, are at home. Now, I've done a lot of stuff. I've done children's ministry. I've done a lot of youth ministry. I've ministered to across generations. But specifically in the area of youth, sometimes I find in the past, in previous church, there was almost this feeling of, Pastor, it's your job to raise my child up to love Jesus. It's up to you to raise up a child in the way. It's almost like, guys, in this culture, we pass the buck to somebody else, right? And we say, Pastor, it's your job. I mean, aren't you a spiritual leader and mentor? And the answer is yes. Yes. But the fact of the matter is the responsibility is on the family and in the home. The phrase I hated to hear most of all from church members was, don't do blank when you're in the church. Don't do, and you name the sin. Don't do that. We're in church. Right? And a lot of times it would come from nervous parents. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. We're in the church. Cursing in the church is a sin, but so is cursing in your own home. Taking the Lord's name in vain is not right in church, but neither is it right at home. So many times we separate the sacred and the secular. We separate our home life from our church life, our work life from our home life. Are we schizophrenic? Why is there such a dichotomy in our lives? Pastor, aren't you preaching about joy? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And God wants to give you joy in every part of your life. He doesn't want you to just have joy in church. He doesn't want you to just experience Him in church. I think that should probably be the easiest place because we have other people that are gathered and worship too, and fire spreads to fire, right? Again, we kindle each other's passion and excitement for the Lord. And that's what the body of Christ is about, right? But again, these things, these experiences with God, when I became on fire for Jesus, it was when I had my own time with God that there was just an experience that I had with Him that I will never forget. And multiple ones like that. Is every day a wow? You know? I used to do with the youth, I'd say, wow, that's your mom. She's cool. Okay. Just to make them laugh. But is every day a wow? No, it's not. Right? There are hard days that we have, but should wow only happen when we're in church? It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. He doesn't want you to honor Him only when you're in this building, right? We know this. Joy comes when we focus on Christ everywhere we go in the Christmas season. When we talk about Him in our house. When we talk about Him at the grocery store as we're ringing that bell. Or when we go out for coffee. Or when we get ready for bed. When we're eating breakfast. Right? Now, Mark Batterson says, I always pray short prayers when it's coming to food, because I like food so much, right? Doesn't need to be a long, lengthy prayer, right? But again, when we're up in the morning, and that's a lot of times, that's the best time to have your quiet time with the Lord. When you're going to bed at night, the last thing to be thinking about is Scripture? Man, that's awesome. I bet your dreams will get better if you're thinking on Scripture. Now, I'm not talking about this is my quiet time. Oh, God, you're awesome. You need to be cognitive, right? But again, these are the times where we are focusing on Him, and it's all about Him. Celebrating Christ's birth in your home on Christmas Day. We're having a Christmas Eve service And that'll be a wonderful time. We've even asked, like I shared, Life Church to come out and to celebrate with us. And there's going to be candelabras, and there's going to be, it's just going to be a beautiful time. And I challenge you then to take that time and go into Christmas Day. And I challenge you to read Christmas passages. Open up the Christmas story and read it. And share it with your family. Before we jump into the Christmas presents, right? To have that time. Maybe sing some Christmas carols around the kitchen table after you prayed. And have already eaten a little bit, right? The home is where discipleship takes place. Yes, your grandkids and your kids see you on Sunday morning, right? But what about at your kitchen table? I think that's the most important there. Again, don't forsake the gathering together of the brethren, but this is such an important thing. My sister sent us an Advent calendar, and it's actually a Star Wars one. So you open up, every day you get to open up a little box, and we put together the Legos, you know. Judah can't play with them yet. Okay, not so we keep away from him. But the kids get so excited at night. And you know what? We could have just done a calendar. You open up something every day. But what we did was we got an Advent devotional. So we'll sit at the kitchen table and we'll light the candle for Advent. And then we will read the passages that go with that devotional. And we'll read the devotional together. And then we'll throw out prayer requests together. And then we'll pray, and you're like, oh, you're a pastor. It's not just because I'm a pastor, okay? And we'll do these things, and then we will have a time of, we'll sing a Christmas song together, a Christmas hymn together, and then we will open the present, we'll blow out the candle, and we do that nightly until Christmas Day arrives. Now, are there some days, you know, the kids have to go to bed, so we'll catch up on one or two. But what that has really done is it says, guys, Christmas is not about presents. Christmas is not about commercialism. Christmas is not about those things. Christmas is about inviting Christ into your home, right? The theme of the floats, the float where we had to make room for Jesus, right, in your home. And so we're inviting Jesus into our home. And we encourage you to invite Jesus into your home and to have those times where you read the Christmas story. And again, times where you sing some Christmas carols, even if somebody sings loud or if somebody sings off key, you know, you do it together and you again embrace Christ in your home. I'll share with you, there was a Christmas where we had invited into my parents' house. It was my mom and dad. There's four of us kids. At that time, we were all with our husband, wives, da-da-da-da, and kids. I mean, all in all, there was about 24 of us under one roof. How many have big families, and that's happened in your family before? Like 20-some crazy amounts of people in your house, right? And so they're all packed in, and my brother grabs a guitar, and my other brother grabs a drum, and we just began singing Christmas carols and having those times together. Well, and there's a person in my family that is not a Christian. Actually, there were a few there that were not Christians. They were relatives. And I just think about this. You know, we ask people so many times, come to church with me, come to church with me, come to church with me. But what if you have church right in your own home on Christmas Day? What if you actually took that time, whether it's you turn on a YouTube video. I don't get out a guitar. I don't play. All right. I leave that to Anna. All right. I don't play. But, we'll pull out a YouTube video and just sing along with that Christmas carol with my kids and with Natalie. And we'll do that together. And I'm hoping and praying that these memories that we have will last a lifetime. They'll go, remember when we had that Star Wars calendar and we did the Advent candle? I want to light the Advent candle this year. No, I don't let them play with fire. Okay, so I light it. They blow it out, you know. But again, we're building memories into our families. And the family member I'm talking about, they weren't young. They were in their 70s, I believe, at the time. They need Jesus just as much now as they ever did, right? And so what an awesome time to invite them into your home and have an awesome spiritual experience where you lift up the name of Jesus. And they see that right before them. And again, those non-Christian family member that I'm mentioning, he still talks about it to this day and was influenced by it. They heard our heart. Joy in the home is the best joy of all. Joy celebrating Jesus together as family. Our challenge to you is to fulfill the Hear, O Israel prayer this Christmas. As a leadership team, we came together and decided this year. Comes once every 7 years, okay? But joy comes when we sing about Jesus. Today we sang, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's about the shepherds seeing the angels, right? Luke 2:8 is a great passage to read on Christmas morning. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were sore afraid, as Linus would say, but filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And I want to share with you this morning, here you see Mary and Joseph. They're making a home for Jesus that wasn't their home, right? How many of you have traveled around Christmas time before? Right? Some are doing it even right now. And so, and now they're inviting the shepherds into their space to worship the King of Kings. It was called Bedouin hospitality. It was cultural. To make room in your home for travelers. After all, Mary and Joseph were travelers who traditionally understood this. Yet, ironically, didn't receive the greatest of hospitality. I think this is a message to us that maybe you didn't have a wonderful Christmas growing up. Maybe Christmas was really hard for you. But this is an opportunity to redeem Christmas. Not only for yourself, but for those around you. To bring the light of Christ into your home, into the Christmas season, to provide that Bedouin hospitality, that hospitality. A Bedouin hospitality is somebody could stay in your home 3 days. They could even be your enemy. And you wouldn't even ask them, when are you getting a hotel? I know a good one. I've already booked it for you. Right? So many times when it comes Christmas time, we're like, oh, family, you gotta love them. Right? And instead of embracing it, sometimes there could be an internal dread that comes up. Oh, Aunt Susie's gonna talk about her dentures again this year. I mean, they're gonna start talking about their random, oh, they're gonna talk politics and everybody's gonna get in a fight. Where's your faith? And then also, are you leading them towards Christ? Pull out a Christmas story. Pull out an Advent calendar. Again, include Jesus in your Christmas. Rather than dreading the family members that you're going to see or getting ready for the irritation that's about to hit you, pray for them. Provide some Bedouin hospitality. Make room in your home for them, even when other people don't make room in their home for you. Right? Even if other people have treated you badly. It's not an eye for an eye, is it? It's not a tooth for a tooth. I was watching, you can look this up, but Saturday Night Live, you guys all know I love It's a Wonderful Life, okay? And It's a Wonderful Life, there's this SNL clip where it's all black and white, and at the end, you know, they play it all through, and then Uncle Billy goes, I remember, it was Mr. Potter that stole the $8,000! And then they go, and they go and find him, and then they start hitting him and abusing him. And he gets up from his wheelchair, and he goes, "You're not even a cripple!" And he goes and starts beating up some more. And it's funny, but at the same time, it ruins It's a Wonderful Life, right? Because part of It's a Wonderful Life is loving your enemy and doing good to those who persecute you. The George never sought revenge from Mr. Potter. But he seeks and he finds an angel that leads him in the right direction, right? The angel comes and finds him. But again, he embraces that and embraces the wonderful life that he had, although he still had to face reality, right? But he faced it with a different set of lens on. The moral of the story of that movie is not, "I remember!" Let's go over it. Let's go out and get Mr. Potter. It's not that. It's love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Bring joy where there is none. Bring hope where there is none. Bring peace in the midst of conflict. Bring joy that comes from the inside of you, not the external circumstances around you. Right? I think about it. You know, maybe we need to invite some shepherds into our homes on Christmas Day. They're dirty, but so is the manger. They smelled like animals, but hey, Mary and Joseph did too. And Jesus. The miracle of Jesus was amplified more when the shepherds came in and shared their story. The Christmas story would not be the same without the shepherds. It would not be the same if they didn't go in and say, "Listen, we saw angels in the field." That another word for that wondered is amazed. As the shepherds shared, they were amazed. The people were amazed, those that heard him. Did the shepherds share their story in the synagogue? Maybe during future Christmases, I don't know. But they got to do what something special. They shared it right in the place where Jesus was. Right in the home with Mary and Joseph. And the donkey, we had one represented. He was plaster of Paris, a little chicken wire, some wood. They went to the place where the family was and shared their supernatural angelic story. This Christmas, let's share the amazing things God did in our home around family and friends that may not know Jesus. Or maybe they're shepherds who recently experienced God in an amazing way. Maybe you need to hear their story. Right? I think sometimes Christianity, sadly, when I was a young person and I learned something new in the Bible, I'd go up to a person, I'd go, "Hey, Christian, this is what I learned." And they're like, "I know that already." Talk about putting a damper on something that this young, on fire, newly just zealous Christian for the Lord. So do me a favor. If somebody says that to you, get excited with them. Right? Like, that is so awesome. That, you know, that reminds me of this and this and this. Sometimes we need an outsider coming in and telling their new story of what happened in their lives when they encountered an angel. And we need to hear it and we need to be amazed by it and allow it to be just soaked into who God is and what he's doing now and in this time amongst other believers. "Joyful, all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies." It's an invitation to share Jesus and share the awesome encounters with Jesus that we've had. We can hail the incarnate deity everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Pleased as men with men to dwell, as we dwell with men and women this Christmas season. Let's hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. I know I've shared this, but you know what? There is not a lot of places anymore where you see where people can just shout in the streets, Jesus is alive, and da-da-da-da, and people don't, they don't respond to that. But I will tell you from personal experience, they will respond when you're dressed in an elf suit. No, just joking. But when you, I was, and singing Christmas hymns in front of Walmart. People say, thank you so much for doing this. They hear the joys of Christmas. I hear many of them singing the same hymns as they're walking into the store. I don't know when the last time they walked into a church, but I know that the very words that I'm singing, now they're singing in their own heart and mind. And I know that it's powerful when we begin saying, Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. These are powerful words. Powerful words that God is with us. That he's never left us. He's never forsaken us. Make room in your heart for Jesus. Make your home the center of worship. Not just for Christmas, but all year round. All year round. Christ came to the humblest of homes in Bethlehem. The home of the shepherd David. That was his hometown. How fitting is it that Jesus came to the home of David, who was awaiting this wonderful promise, his hometown. Let's hail Jesus this Christmas season and hail him not only in our church, but in our parade, in the grocery stores, ringing the bell with kettle in hand, and most importantly, hail King Jesus and pray to the Lord and fix our hearts on him in our humble home. This is the ultimate home we ask him into, is right here. We ask him to come inside of us, to live inside of us, to be inside of us. We can talk about a home as a domicile, right? How many of you have moved maybe two times or more in your life? Moved two times or more. Leave it up if you've moved three times or more, four times or more, five times or more, right? I mean, just, there are so many times where we move, right? And we get up and we go somewhere else and we pick up our lives and we relocate. But I'll tell you, this home will never leave. And this is the home that he asks us to come into. Would you bow your heads with me? And maybe just this Christmas season, or maybe just this time in your life that you found yourself kind of wandering away from the Lord. And Christ has not been the center of your home. But you want to make Christ the center of your home. And you want to make him just your everything. And you've just been pricked by this message to say, you know what? I am going to this year be proactive about making Christ welcome in my home, in my heart, but also home in my domicile, where I am. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand in agreement. And you're saying, that's what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to make an effort to do that. I'm going to do that. And I see that hand. I see that hand. It's so important, guys, that we do this. It's so important that we grab this understanding in heart. And Lord, we just respond to you in prayer and say, Jesus, be enthroned in my heart. Make your home in me. And then, Lord God, in the place that where I live, I pray that you would help me to lift up the name of Jesus in every way that I can, in creative ways, in loving ways, in joyful ways, in Jesus' name. Amen.